Life Audio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Sparkle Speak. I'm your host, Catherine. On today's episode, we have our very special guest, Amy Fabian. Amy currently lives in Nashville and works for Catholic Charities, where she helps place refugees into housing locations. Amy is married to her husband, and they have a dog named Everett and two cats, Gutter. She found him in a gutter, so cute, and Addie. Amy and I both share an insane love for animals, so I had to include that fact about her. I find it very sweet. But anyway, I know Amy from Michigan State, and she is just the kindest soul. She is a musician, and she loves people, and I just know you're going to love hearing from her. We talk a lot in this episode about her journey with mental health, how she identified a challenge she was facing with it, how she actually stepped into a recovery facility to seek help, and she shares where she's at now in her recovery. We also talk about moving from a victim's mentality towards a place of healing with Jesus, and I find this to be super encouraging for anyone who's struggling with mental health challenges. I just know you're going to really enjoy this episode. So after a few words from our sponsors, please enjoy hearing from Amy.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
All right. Welcome, Amy. We're so excited to have you on Sparkle Speak today. And yeah, just thanks for being here. We're so excited to chat.
Yeah, thank you.
I would love to hear from you, Amy, if you want to share with everybody listening today just a little bit about like your faith background. So when did you kind of start identifying yourself as a Christian? And what does that mean to you? To be a Christian, yeah. I guess. Yeah.
Also, thank you so much for having me on this podcast. I have been, it's really good, like going through the questions and just like really thinking about, I don't know, my relationship with God and how transformative it has been over the years has been really cool. But yeah, so basically, I did not grow up in a Christian home. But it was one of those things where I feel like a lot of people in Western culture just assume they're Christian at a young age. Mainly like my grandma's had a lot of influence on me, but because they were like diehard Christians. But it is interesting. I like, maybe this is why I'm such a Predestination fan, but like, I really like knew God at a young age. Like, I remember my friends making fun of God in, like, kindergarten, and I cried and was like, God, they didn't mean it. So, like, I don't know. It's very strange, but, like, I can't really explain it, but I just, like, I knew God. I just didn't really know it was Jesus. But, like, fast forward to the summer after my freshman year of college, and that's kind of where things like really kicked into gear for me. So, freshman year, I was involved with Real Life, a Christian, college group on Michigan State's campus. But like, I wasn't super involved. Like I went to like the fun things, like the root beer kegger and like all that stuff, but I wasn't like real. Yeah. You know, classic. I wasn't like super involved because really I wasn't really following God at all. But the summer after my freshman year, my family and I were evicted from our apartment. And I was like partially living at my boyfriend's house at the time. Just like a really dark place in my life, like truly not walking with God at all. No community, no nothing. And there was this church called Metro City Church in my hometown that I checked out a few times. And the worship pastor called me and was like, "Hey, I got word from a few people you were in town and you play piano and you've been checking us out. Like, we really need a keyboardist. And would you like to like audition?" And I was like, "Absolutely. I'm totally a Christian. I would love to do this," which was like not true. I definitely lied to like be able just to like jam and have something to do during the summer. I don't know. I was like so depressed that like the idea of just like doing anything else other than like hanging out at my boyfriend's house all day sounded awesome. And feel free to stop me if I'm like going too fast or you have any questions.
Yeah, this is great. Keep going.
Okay. So I like really truly should not have been picked for this audition, but for some reason they did. And it was like for Sunday nights, like the youth, they had like a huge youth program. And I loved it. But then they caught on that I was like not going to church on Sunday mornings. And they were like, "Hey, part of like a requirement of being on the worship team is that like you need to go to service." And I was like pretty defensive. I was like, "Why do I need to do that? But okay, whatever, I'll do it." So I started going by myself on Sunday mornings and it was so boring. I was like, "Gosh, this is the worst." Like it's so early and like I have no one to sit with and it's just awkward. Like I'm only here to play music. But then they made an announcement at church that they needed help with like the baby ministry, what's it called? Children's ministry. They needed help in one of the classrooms. And that's kind of like where everything changed for me. I remember one Sunday helping out and it was like, I don't know, 1 year and under classroom. And this baby did something so funny. It was like laughing at itself. And I was just like, this thing is so precious and funny. And like, if God is real, like he had to have created humor because like, how else would it exist?
Yeah.
And yeah. So from there, like, I feel like my world was like kind of black and white and it just started to like come to life. I was like, God could have created the world in black and white, but like thought of color and like, we can't even think of a new color if we wanted, but God thought of like every color on the spectrum. And God became like fun to me and interesting and not just like this boring like book. And so yes, that was kind of like what the catalyst for everything. I started to have like conversations with God in a different way and like grow close to Jesus. And one day I remember waking up and I was just like, I think I'm a Christian. I like didn't say a prayer or anything, but I was just like, I like love God. I don't know, just like I want the things that God wants and I care about the things of God in a way that I hadn't before. And I was like, I don't want to live at my boyfriend's and I don't want to be like partying throughout the week. And like, I want to like change my life. So yeah, essentially that was like the summer after my freshman year of college. And ever since then I've been walking with God.
That is so sweet. I love that God used a baby to like reveal his character. That's so cute. And I wonder what that baby's doing today and like how old they are.
I know. Like aww. Little do they know they like changed my life.
Yeah, that's seriously so cute. That brought tears to my eyes because it's it really is just so like sweet of God to, I mean, he reveals himself so differently to each person, but it's totally. All his creation. And I love that.
Yeah.
Like, everything's a reflection of him. But certain things stick out to certain people.
Yeah. It's really amazing. Like, some people, like, are close with God through nature. Some people are, like, art or whatever. But, like, it was a baby for me that did it. Like,
yeah.
I was just like, this thing is so cute.
Yeah.
And God, like, created it. And I don't know. Well, God could have been boring and like skipped to adulthood or something when he made all of us. I don't know. But like chose to, I don't know, like grow us in our mother's womb and then give us all of this personality. And I don't know. It's just like spectacular.
Yeah. When you really start breaking down all the things that God has done intentionally, it really does blow your mind every time.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because like you said before, like he could think up all the colors. We could never create one. Like,
no,
they've already been created by him. So,
yeah.
Yeah. He is the ultimate creator. Yeah, I love that. And I would love to hear even more from you, too. Like, has there been any specific experience or maybe a season of life or event that really started shaping your view of God or has shaped it to what it is today?
Yes. Kind of like two things. Like ever since I was walking with God, I felt like I was like kind of like the honeymoon phase when you first become a Christian. I was just like, I don't know, like so on fire for God in the Bible, and like I felt like I was just in this like little bubble of like joy and bliss and like protection from like how hard things were to come. But I guess in 2018, so like 3 years after college, it was just a really, really hard year. I had a lot of like family losses in my life, and the most significant one was my dog, Lloyd.
I remember Lloyd.
He was so sweet. He was a beagle. He was 15, so he was an old man. But really, he was like the only consistent thing I had like ever had in my life for 15 years. Like mom left, dad left, brothers left, but like I always had Lloyd. Like he came with me to college and moved to Chicago, and he was just like always there. But like losing him, it wasn't like losing him that shook my faith, but it was the loneliness of grief after that like made me spiral. I remember like praying to God for him to like show me he was near to me, and I felt like absolutely nothing. I like started struggling to believe that God even like cared about me or wanted to be near to me. It was just like a really dark, dark time of my life. My roommate moved out of our apartment, and I was just alone and just like literally like sulking in grief. But then slowly but surely, I started being like, all right, God, like, I don't know. I heard that Mother Teresa one time like went through this like, I don't know, really long period of time of like not hearing from God. It was like still faithful to him, and that like really stuck out to me. So I was like, okay, God, like, I kind of feel like, I think it was Peter who was like, Jesus asked him, like, what about you? Are you going to leave me too? And Peter was like, where else are we going to go? Like, to whom are we going to go? That's kind of like what I felt like. I was like, all right, God, like, even if I want to like be so mad at you, like, that's fine. But like, I can't deny that you are who you say you are. So I'm just going to like, yeah, I guess I'm just going to learn to like commiserate with God and his suffering. And that is kind of like was the light bulb moment of like, okay, when did Jesus feel lonely? When did Jesus feel abandoned? When did Jesus have like intense anxiety and grief? And that helped me like draw near to him. And so it was like a really devastating season of my life, but it shaped my faith a whole lot. So yeah, and it helped me be transparent with others about like what I was going through and my mental health. So I would say that was like the first thing that really like shook my faith. It was a lot of things, but not shook, but like, I don't know, like was transformative again.
Yeah, like helped shaped it, make it stronger in a way.
Yeah.
And I love that scripture you just pointed out for that season of like, where else are you gonna go? Like,
yeah,
why not just stick it out with God and see what he does? Because I think it's so true. Like, I don't know, I can relate to you and, you know, having experienced certain seasons of intense loneliness or grief or whatever.
Yeah.
And you kind of start to wonder, you know, like maybe God isn't there, or maybe there's somewhere else I should be looking for satisfaction or fulfillment. But it's like, where are you going to go though? Like, are you going to go to an earthly relationship or
totally,
you know, drinking or some other form of fulfillment? But then it's like, is that really going to satisfy? Like, if you've done it, you know it's not.
I went to the bar after Lloyd died because I was like, I just don't want to go home and sit by myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go to the bar and just like drink my sorrows, which I don't drink. I'm like such a baby with alcohol. I just don't like it. And I would go and I was like, these people are making me more depressed. Like,
yeah.
The people at the bar that were like, truly, I would like sit down and they would start telling me what they were going through. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, This is so sad. This is not it. Like,
yeah. Or it might give you temporary relief. Like you might have a fun night and forget about your issues and like feel confident or whatever it is. But then the next morning you're just going to wake up and all your issues are still there. You know, it's just, it's not real relief from what you're feeling.
Oh no. Yeah, totally. Yeah. It was just, it made it worse. Yeah.
Yeah. So how did God like, was there a moment or a season where the sun kind of started shining again with your faith? Like, did he seem more real or like more close to you at a certain point?
Yeah, it wasn't like a big, like, aha moment, but I think, like, over time, like, 2019, the next year, it was just, like, drastically different. I met my husband, I moved in with my cousin and her kids, and that was just, like, so life-giving to be around them. And I felt like I could look back and see vividly how God was, like, near to me, even though I couldn't like audibly hear him or anything. And so, yeah, I felt like it also allowed me to be like straightforward with people about what I was going through and like allowed like extra compassion for people. Like I felt like my heart just like was filled with empathy because it's like, you just have no idea what people are going through. And I know people say that all the time, but like truly we have no idea. And I was like a high functioning grieving person. So like I was still going to work and stuff, but like inside I was like in turmoil. And I don't know, just like the few times that people had like grace for me or like, oh, another aha thing was I was like, I need to get back into like, I really love dogs and I really want a dog sit. So I joined Rover. It's like a dog sitting app. And my first gig, I didn't want to be alone on Christmas because I always spent Christmas with Lloyd and my family stopped doing stuff. And I just had like nowhere really to like go. And so I was like, well, just like a lot of people need dog sitting services, so I'll do it. And the first one I had was like Christmas Eve and it was two beagles. And I was like, this is like actually so sweet that this is like the first gig I have. And it's like, I felt like, I don't know. It was just like very sweet. It could have been any breed of dog, but it was like Lloyd times two and they were puppies and it just like filled me with joy. So little things along the way where I could see God all along. But my brain was so clouded with grief that like I just was not seeing straight.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think that was the first thing. And then actually, I don't know how much time we have. I want to be careful.
Oh, we're good. Yeah, talk as long. I can cut things out too or shave it down.
Sweet. Okay, cool. But basically, so that was 2018. And during that time, I kind of like stopped taking care of my mental health. But like it was always something I've struggled with. But it got like significantly worse the last few years since Lloyd died. And this was like actually kind of recent. So like last year, it kind of got like out of control. So I've struggled with like anxiety and like OCD. And I feel like I always had something to occupy my mind, but then when I moved to Tennessee, I just like really like all of the change. And then also my mom moved in with us. And she unfortunately is like a pretty big trigger for me. And I started having really bad, like, it's not, when people think of OCD, a lot of times they think of like cleaning or like organizing things, but it can be anything that you like obsess over, and have compulsions with. So for me, it was like health related anxiety, and thinking I was sick or having a heart attack. And it got like basically like unbearable. Like I stopped going to work. I was like afraid of having a heart attack. I was always going to the ER. I was calling 911. And there's not a lot of resources from my experience for people that struggle with health anxiety. And so I kind of like kept it to myself, but it doesn't just go away. It gets worse over time if you don't like get help for it. And so last year I like got treatment for it. There's an organization called Rogers Behavioral Health. And for 6 weeks, I was a part of their partial hospitalization program, which is like 6 hours a day. And it's like intensive therapy for like 6 hours.
Yeah.
And I was like embarrassed. I like didn't want to really tell anyone. But then when I started opening up, I realized how many people were struggling with this.
Yeah.
And specifically intrusive thoughts. Like a lot of moms actually in postpartum struggle with like really bad intrusive thoughts or harm. Like, what if I harm my baby? What if I drop them? What if something happens to them? What if I intentionally harm them? And it's like a lot of people can like go, oh, like that was a weird thought, I'm going to move on. But people with like anxiety or OCD say like, why would I ever think that? Oh my God, what's wrong with me? And so through this process of OCD, I've actually been able to help like a lot of people feel like just not alone with these thoughts and just let them know like there's help out there and you're not alone. It doesn't mean you're crazy or anything. And like everyone has intrusive thoughts. We just like don't really talk about them. And so I ended up going to Wisconsin for 2 months for like a more intensive treatment program because I was like petrified of like I didn't want to take any medication. I was afraid of getting help basically. But I like wasn't living a life worth living. Like it was like I was becoming just like clammed up in my room every day because I was like so afraid of like having a heart attack or something. And so this program honestly like saved my life. And they had like a spiritual hour you could go to. It was like led by this church. And I got to go every Sunday. I drove there, so I had my car. So I was able to leave campus and like go to a church. And I just chose a random church. I chose a Presbyterian church because it was close to a coffee shop. And I was like, I can go get coffee after and they'll never know. But the church actually became like, I don't know. It was just like really, really, they were so supportive and they had no idea who I was, but they were just so welcoming. And like, I don't know. That's why I wanted to go to a Presbyterian church out here after because my experience was so good. But that was pretty hard. It took up like 6 months of my life getting help for that. And like, it completely changed my life. And it didn't really change my view of God or anything, but I think it provided me, I don't know. Like I didn't believe I would ever get healing. I like stopped believing that God would heal me of my mental health. And it like really was damaging my view of God. Like I was like, how evil that you would just have me suffer my whole life. Like 30 years is a long time to suffer from mental health. I feel like God gave me Rogers to like, I don't know. I'm just honestly, I'm truly so grateful that I had to go through what I went through. I wouldn't do it again, but I'm grateful that I went through it so that I can help people and help them not feel alone with mental health. Because I feel like in the Christian world, sometimes there's a lot of stigma on mental health. It's like you're not praying enough, or you need to be in community, or you need to, like, I don't know. Like, I had a lot of feedback from different people, like, oh, stop drinking coffee, like, don't do this and it'll get better. But, like, truly, it's like a chemistry thing in your brain, and, like, those things aren't enough sometimes. Like, you need help with a therapist. And so, yeah, that was a lot for me last year. It was like 6 months of my life, and I feel like I have my life back in a lot of ways. And yeah, I'm just really grateful that God allowed me to find that program. So those are probably the two things that were the most transformative for me in my view of God.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing about that. I mean, I think that's really helpful for anybody who is struggling with that and maybe too afraid to share it, because it's not shameful, but for some reason, like you said, those just aren't things that people just go around sharing with each other, you know? And
oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. But so many people
totally
struggle with, you know, the intrusive thoughts, like you said, and then the anxiety that comes from it. Like, you know, am I going to act on this? What is going on? Why am I like this?
Totally.
And I've been thinking a lot about this too. You know, you had mentioned something about, like, suffering and feeling like, you know, you wanted to find healing. And I've been doing a lot of personal research on this too. Like, when we're broken, when we need healing, sometimes we can get caught in the victim mentality of, like, I'm just a victim to this. But it seems like you have really shown, and I've seen this in multiple things you just shared, like, you have said, I don't want to be a victim to this. Like, I want to find victory. And you did that by going to this program. And, like, it wasn't easy. I'm sure you had to make a lot of sacrifices to do that. But you're like, I want to see victory from this. And you have. And that's so, I think, encouraging for people to hear that we don't have to be a victim our whole life to the things that plague us, but we can actually take action. And I really like too how you're saying when you were grieving Lloyd, like, it maybe took you some time to lament and just sit in your sadness with God, which is totally also biblical. Like, we are supposed to sit in our sadness and feel it. We are not supposed to shove it away. But then you said, okay, I want to, like, dog sit and see if maybe that can start bringing some joy back into my life. And then God gave you that gift of the two beagles. So I think you've shown that, like, you are someone who wants to take the steps from being a victim to being victorious over your struggles. And I think that's so encouraging and something that, like, not everybody can say is true, but you're, like, I think giving people a lot of hope that you can find victory from your struggles.
Oh my gosh. You make me tear up. Thank you so much. You are so sweet. And it's true. It's like, and honestly, like, I did fall into the victim mentality, and I wish so bad there was more on, like, I don't know. I listened to more on, like you said, like, turning it from being a victim to, like, being victorious, because it's so much more powerful and, like, life-giving to feel like you have some, like, power and control over these hard things that we go through, rather than just, like, sitting in it. Like, I don't know if you've ever heard of, like, the Enneagram.
Yes,
I have. Oh my gosh. So I have a lot of thoughts about the Enneagram, but basically I feel like a lot of people, unfortunately, and I did this too, lean in, not the strengths, but, like, oh, like, what I struggle with is a six or a seven. Like, oh, I'm just such a two. I'm always trying to help, and I overwork myself, and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, that is not who we are. Like, we have power as Christians, and we have power over these things that we go through. And it is so much better to be on the other side of things than sulking in, like, I don't know, like, even for me, like, sulking in my mental health, like, it was, like, almost like not an excuse, but kind of to, like, I don't know, not go into work or not go hang out with people because I just have social anxiety or whatever. And it's like, now I look at my life and snapshots of me having, like, great days at work and, like, going to get togethers with friends and having, like, a great board game night. And it's like, that is so much better than, like, sitting home alone in my room because I have anxiety. And it's hard work. Like, it was really painful for me to get help and treatment and coming to terms with like the things that I needed to change. And exposure therapy specifically is like basically doing everything that you're afraid of and like stop doing the things that make you feel comfortable. So like, let's say you have social anxiety and you're like, oh, I need a beer when I go out. Well, instead of grabbing the beer, like this program would be like, you're going to go to this get together and you're just going to like sit there and you're not going to have a drink. So instead of like doing the things that relieve the anxiety temporarily, but like you mentioned, like it doesn't really, it's like a quick fix. And then you realize like, oh, like even if the worst thing I'm imagining does come true, like I'm going to keep living my life until maybe it does happen. Maybe it won't, but I'm going to keep like living my life to the fullest. And it's really hard work and it was really scary. And I'm still in like biweekly therapy. But yeah, it was just really transformative. And since going through what I went through, it was such a gift to talk to a lot of people. Cause I did struggle with some intrusive thoughts. Like, it got really bad. Like I was like, what if I am, like, it wasn't just health related. It was a lot of intrusive thoughts around like harm. Like, what if I accidentally hit this person driving? Oh my God, why would I think that? It's a crazy thought. Or like, what if I hurt someone I love? And then I would think like, oh my gosh, like these are crazy thoughts. But then I Google it and it's like 99% of the population has these thoughts, but we don't talk about it. And they're typically, they go against like your character or things that you believe in strongly. And I was like, oh, so when I talked to my therapist about it, it just like, I don't know, when you bring darkness to light, a lot of times it loses its power. And I was like, how many people are struggling with this, but they're too embarrassed to talk about it. So I'm just going to talk openly about these things and hope that I can bring relief and help people not to feel so alone and know that there's hope.
Yeah.
And that, yeah, God can bring healing. So,
yeah. Thank you so much. I think this is such a gift to people that you're just willing to like put this out there. Cause not feeling alone is so huge in our recovery and healing.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
I love what you said too about like, it feels so good sometimes to know that we do have power and control over our situations as Christians. And it's not our own doing though. Like it's not like we pick up our own bootstraps and make it happen. It's that we pick up our bootstraps and have faith in Jesus that he will make it happen. Like we can do all things in Christ who strengthens us. So like we are helpless in our sadness and in our brain chemistry sometimes and our mental health issues and stuff. And we are helpless, but we are not helpless in being able to turn to Jesus and let him change it for us. And so I think it's so cool. Like that's where our power lies and that's where we do have personal responsibility. And like, are we going to choose to heal and like choose to let him heal us? Or are we going to choose to wallow and just be a victim to it our whole life?
Yep. I agree with you.
Yeah. That's so encouraging. Thank you for sharing your story with it. And I know I'm walking through some things, you know, some healing things. I think you know, most of us are, let's be honest. And so this really blesses me to just, you know, it gives me a little pep in my step to be like, like you can do this, Catherine. Amy's doing it. Yeah. You're doing it. We're doing it.
Heck yeah, friend. Oh my gosh.
Proud of you. Proud of you.
Thanks.
So I guess just as we're wrapping up, do you have like a favorite verse or scripture that God's put on your heart lately that you've been learning about that you can share with us?
Yes. I have been so encouraged by like all of Psalm 139. But I will read like the first six verses. So it says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty to attain." I love that so much. because I feel like, and the rest, I encourage everyone listening, like, go read the rest of Psalm 139 because it's amazing. But just the fact that God knows all of us. He knows when I sit down at work and when I get up to walk, and before I even go to pray, he knows like what's on my heart. And if I can't find the words, like the Holy Spirit intercedes for us and helps us. And I feel like, I don't know, it's just pretty cool to think that through all of the things I've been through and all of the doubt I had, God still like chose us and loves us, and he knows everything about us, like all of the things that we're embarrassed to like tell people or our struggles. Mm-hmm. God sees it and like still wants to know us and call us his. So I just think it's really powerful.
And isn't that like the ultimate form of love, when you know somebody fully in all their darkness, broken pieces, good pieces, all of it, and you still love and choose them? Like, that's love, and you can't
true
get
love.
It any deeper than God, because to your point, he knows us better than anybody else and still chooses us. So
yeah,
that's beautiful.
Pretty great.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. I really appreciate just everything you shared today. And I think it's going to make a fabulous episode and something that people can just be encouraged by. So thank you for doing that.
Yeah. Thank you so much for letting me be open about just like everything in our walk with God. And yeah, you've just been such a huge light in my life, like you said, from afar, keeping up even on social media, but even when we were in like the same action group, and you were leading, just like your bright light and like, I don't know, positive influence on my life is still encouraging me even all the way in Nashville. So
thanks,
I'm just so
Amy.
Grateful for you, Catherine.
I'm grateful for you too. Aw, that's so sweet. Thanks. All right, everyone, thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of Sparkle Speak. As always, you can find us at sparklefaith.com or head over to our partners at lifeaudio.com, where you can hear more podcasts just like this one. Don't forget to check out our show notes to find all of our social media. And as always, don't forget to rate, subscribe, like, share this with people that you think would enjoy hearing. It really helps us more than you realize and allows us to keep doing what we love to do, spreading the hope and love of Christ with others. So thank you so much for being here, and we will see you next episode. Bye.
Hi, I'm Beckett Cook, host of The Beckett Cook Show. I lived as a gay man in Hollywood for many, many years until I had a radical encounter with Jesus 13 years ago. Since then, I've gotten my master's degree in seminary and published a book called A Change of Affection. On my podcast, The Becca Cook Show, I sit down with fascinating Christian scholars and thinkers to address the lies of the culture and bring the biblical truth to bear on those lies. To start listening now, go to lifeaudio.com or search for The Becca Cook Show on your favorite podcasting platform.